Well, that was a little different, wasn't it? Every Sunday is different. I tell people, if you're thinking of joining our church, you need to come for at least 12 months because every Sunday is different and you've got no idea what we're like. Seriously, a couple of Sundays would do it, but where is Smitter? Why do we have a practice? Smitter, where are you? Over there somewhere, okay. Changed my song list about 3 times. And then we never used it. That's good to be prepared. But the Holy Spirit said to me years ago, had a dream and I saw myself in a circle and Benny Hinn was in the circle. And he said to me, what's the key to your anointing and worship? And I heard myself say, I don't just use songs, I let songs be used. And everybody went very quiet and I realized I just said something very profound. This isn't a performance. This is about encountering his presence. And God's ways are in the sea. Anybody ever seen any footprints in the ocean? We have no idea where the Spirit of God is going. Well, we can have it all planned out and we can do it without him, and a lot of services function exactly that way, but don't expect to find God that way. His ways are in the sea. And when you jump in the sea of the Holy Ghost and get wet, help, Lord, I drowneth. I have no idea where I'm going. And Jesus says, that's all right. I'll help you walk on the water if you follow me. But you got to be prepared to get wet. And so we struggle sometimes to find where we're going. You'll often see my wife up here having a conversation because sometimes we create the impression that we don't know what we're doing. And that's because we don't know what we're doing. If you don't like my Woody Woodpecker laugh, talk to God about that. We're talking about how to hear from God. This is message number 7. And my wife is in the meeting this morning, so I have to behave myself again. how to hear from God. Sometimes women hear differently from men. Don't know if you've noticed that. Pam wanted to paint the downstairs rumpus last week. I didn't think it was a very good idea. So Pam prayed about it. And she felt that God thought it was a good idea. One thing I've learned since I got married, if a woman thinks something is a good idea, it's a good idea. Especially if she talks to God and God thinks it's a good idea too. There's not much chance of getting out of that one. So guess what we've been doing all week? A week before we go away. Painting the rumpus, yeah. It was a good idea, darling. It was a good idea. So I can't remember what point I'm up to, but if you're taking notes, I think this is like getting towards the end of the list. But this one is about coincidences. How do we hear from God? We've talked about lots of different things, and I'm not going to go over them. By the way, if you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, I really encourage you to get at least the last 2 messages and listen to them, because there's some stuff in there you need to hear. So this one is coincidences, and it's usually like the last one that I recommend, because people are often led by signs. You know, oh, it's a sign, it's a sign. People in the flesh often look for signs, and I don't mean to put you down by saying that, but it's one of the more sort of, I mean, we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. This is where his voice is. It's in your spirit. It's an intuition. It's just a hunch. It's just like, I mean, have you ever met somebody and you get inside? That's the Holy Ghost saying, don't trust them. Don't listen to a thing. Like, it's just a warning, you know. Other people, I remember when we met Rob Packer. Hadn't seen him for years. And then I met him at a conference in Auckland. This is about, I don't know, 12 years ago or so. And something in me just lit up, just took off. It's like, whoa, this is warm, fuzzy. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, go and join yourself to that man. And he'd just spent some time with Patricia King, and we just connected. And it was like, you can have relationships with lots of different people, but some relationships are by the Spirit that you need to hear, because they will shape your destiny. And Rob, he's played on several of my albums, and as you know, he's become a son of the house. And when we're away, Rob and Lynn come in and they preach, they take the service, and he's just been such a blessing to us. And if it wasn't for Lynn, I wouldn't be getting all the dreams that I get. That's one of the main ways you hear from God, and that's next week, I think. I don't know. Yeah, I've got to finish this next week, because the week after I won't be here. So that's how you're led, just by an inner witness, just something that goes off inside you, you know. And you just know. How do you know? I don't know, I just know. But how do you know? I don't know, I just know that I know, that I know. It's a knowing. And the closer you walk to God, the more you just know things. And that's it. You've got a divinely inspired knower. It's the gift of knowing. It comes when you get born again. Yeah. They're just a witness to truth. It's in your spirit. So that's the main way we're supposed to hear. But then there are coincidences, divine coincidences. If they line up with the revealed will of God, a coincidence I would take as a confirmation, not an initial prompt. You've heard all the stuff, you've had the word of God, you've got the internal witness, someone prophesied something, and then he had some coincidence, some opportunity. And that would be a confirmation. We went to the Language of the Spirit conference where Bill Johnson was preaching, and he talked about how God speaks through unusual circumstances. And I remember Benny sharing how the number 11 just kept showing up in her life all the time. She'd look at the clock and it would be 1:11, or it would be 11:11, or 11:1. Just these ones, this series of ones. And blow me down, ever since she said that, the same thing's been happening to me. It's like I just picked something up. And she said that unusual circumstances, when it shows up, means you're in the right place at the right time. Just keep doing what you're doing. And good. And sometimes you just need that little bit of encouragement, you know. So I get this all the time. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and, it'll be 11:11 or 1:11 or, just heading off to bed, and I'll look at the clock and it'll say 11:11. I think, gosh, God's just saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. The other day I really needed it. I was at school and I had these two kids really winding me up, using their phone when they weren't supposed to, making all these excuses and chewing gum, talking to me, chewing gum right in my face. And it's like, deliberately, what you going to do, reliever? He never said that, but his attitude was like that. And it's like, the devil knows how to push your buttons. So I did something I don't do very often these days, since I've been a lovely person, since I've had it. These guys yell. I yelled at them. I told them to cut the, and one of those words I shouldn't have used, but I was really upset. So, and then of course my blood pressure goes up, and the next period I'm trying to get over it, and thought, now I've got to apologize to these kids for yelling at them, me apologize to them. And fortunately, I didn't get to go to school the next day, so I got out of having to make an apology. So, if you cross the line and you abuse somebody like that, you should say, "Look, what you did was wrong, but my response wasn't right." So, and I'm humble enough to admit when I lose my cool. But anyway, I was in the classroom and I said, just the kids had all gone out, and I says, "God, I'm in the wrong place. I don't belong here. And I looked up at the clock and it was 11:11. I thought, oh, Jesus, you know how to do that. You know how to do that, don't you? How does God do that? I don't know how he does it. So, you know, I'm not knocking coincidences, but I wouldn't put a whole lot of weight on them. But the other day, you know, we did that last Sunday, we did He Teaches My Hands to War. That's one of my songs. We hardly ever do it now because I wrote it back in a time when we started the church. We tried to build the church on the warfare message. And, you know, people, sheep like still waters. They don't like going to war all the time. But every once in a while, you do need to recognize that we are in a battle down here. We do have an enemy. And he's declared war on you if you haven't declared war on him. I hate to tell you, you are in a war. And every once in a while, we just got to know he's given me strength for the battle. You know, I have covenanted with the Almighty and nothing can stand against me. And I've got strength for the battle. I'm equal to anything that dares confront me today. And it's in Christ. It's not in me. It's in Christ. And I've got Jesus in me. And he says, he that's in you is greater. Every once in a while, we need songs like that. But I thought, oh, I don't want to go there. I just felt the Lord wanted me to do that song last Sunday. It was cracker, wasn't it, that whole thing? But I thought, you know, I don't want to do that. And I just felt the Lord say, no, I want you to do it. So I said, okay, all right. So I opened up my folder with my songs. So there's over, I don't know, there'll probably be 100, 200 songs in here. And so I was looking for the music for it. I just opened the folder, and what was the first song? It just opened. At He Teaches My Hands to War. And there's a 1 in 200 chance that that was a coincidence. I said, that's it, we're doing it. And so sometimes you'll get little coincidences like that and it's God speaking to you, but I wouldn't put a lot of weight on them. Now, when I was a young man, not so long ago, Bob Mumford put a book out called Divine Guidance. Who's read that book? I mean, he's an oldie, he's probably dead now. But it's called the Three Beacons of Divine Guidance. And he was saying how coincidence is not enough. And he talked about how when ships come into a harbour, they have these beacons in the water to help them avoid hitting rocks or getting stuck in the mud, to keep them in the channel. Okay? So when a ship comes into a harbour, there's three beacons. And if all three beacons line up, then they know they're in the channel. They won't hit the mud or the rocks or whatever. So the ship, the harbour, the skipper is coming in and he sees a beacon over there and a beacon here and a beacon here. He says, okay, I got to come over this way. And then those two beacons line up and then he gets the third beacon. And then, okay, there's the three. I can only see one beacon now because they're all lined up. And so now I'm okay. And he talked about the three spiritual beacons that have to line up if we think we're hearing from God, if we're getting divine guidance from God. And the first one is internal witness. I've already talked about that. It's just a voice. It's just something that you feel right about. Okay? And then the second one is the Word of God. It must line up with the Word of God. And if it lines up with the Word of God, okay, you know, God's not going to tell you to go and rob a bank. Doesn't matter if you need to pay your tithes. That's not the way to do it. God will not be impressed with the tithe of what you stole from a bank. Thou shalt not steal. That's pretty obvious, right? So it's not the will of God if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. But also, God will quicken a scripture to you. Like I've shared a couple of examples I've had where the guy, you know, I was the only person in my block at university, my first year of university, who spoke in tongues. All the Christians thought I was mad. And I spoke to a theologian and he tried to show me from the Bible that, you know, tongues isn't for today and all went out with the apostles and everything. Man, we need apostles and prophets now more than we ever did. And so the Lord spoke to me, says it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know. So I knew that the Lord was speaking to me. And then there's circumstances. So if you get an internal witness and then you get a word from God, something leaps out. You know, and you feel like you're supposed to leave your country or get another job or something, and God speaks to you from his word. And then circumstances, if they line up, if you get the sack, maybe you are supposed to get another job. Or if another job opportunity, you know, comes to you. Sometimes circumstances do help us indicate direction, but you've got to be careful. Here's a classic one. Guy's looking for a girl, right? So he sees this pretty young thing and he gets this internal witness. Oh, yes, she's the one. There's no doubt about that. Her name is Joy. And so he reads a verse in the Bible. He says, God, speak to me. And he does this, you know. You shall go out with Joy. Ah, yes. That has got to be God. And you need divine guidance when you're looking at someone who you're going to choose to live with for the rest of your life. Hello. I'd be praying about it if I wasn't married yet, you young people. That's something you should be talking to your Heavenly Father about. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what's good for you and what isn't. Well, the Bible says the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So, you know, he asks the girl. I had this experience once. I called a girl up, says, can I take you out to the pictures? And she says, oh no, not you. Wow. Well, that beacon didn't line up. She sunk my ship in the harbour right there. So you can have a witness. You can have a word. But if you ain't got a girl saying yes, you ain't. That ain't going to happen. And God's not going to violate somebody's freedom of choice. All right, so don't be led by opportunity or coincidence. Make sure all your three beacons line up. Turn with me in Habakkuk. That'll take you a while to find. I wish I could help you. The index will help you. I did have a thing in here. It's page 936 in your Bible, if you happen to have a version just like mine. Habakkuk, yeah, okay, it's before Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. If you turn to the Italian book of the Bible, Malachi, and go back to Zechariah, Zephaniah, Haggai, you'll get Habakkuk. Are we good?
Yes.
You're glad you came this morning. All right. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. As the prophet speaks, he says, I will stand my watch. They had watchmen on the wall, you know, where they just watched all night. And there's a thought here where if we want God to speak to us, sometimes we have to set some time aside and stand our watch. Set myself on the rampart, it's a special place, and watch to see what he will say to me. Sometimes we just need to quiet ourselves in the Lord's presence in order to hear from him. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know. Be still and know that I'm God. And David said, be silent my soul before him. Sometimes when we pray, you know, we just feel a need to talk. And yes, pour your heart out before him. He's a refuge at all times. But at other times, if you've ever had a conversation with somebody and they're doing all the talking, that's not a conversation, it's a monologue. And sometimes we just need to know when to stop and let God speak to us. And Elisha was in the cave and he was wanting to hear from God, and there was a lot of noise going on. And God said, I'm not in the noise. I'm not in all the rushing around. I'm in the still, small voice. I'm not in the wind. I'm in the still, small voice. And if you're not still, you won't hear the still. And that's where we've got to be if we're serious about hearing from God. I'm of the persuasion that, generally speaking, our generation is way too busy to hear from God. And that's part of Satan's strategy. You know, you can't own your own home now without both parties working, without both partners working, in Auckland anyway. It's extremely difficult to do. So what was normally, you know, Dad would go to work and Mum would be at home taking care of all the stuff and raising the kids. Dad would come home and then, he, you know, sit down in front of the TV and his wife would bring him his slippers and his pipe. And those days are gone. They both come home exhausted and tired and ratty and buy takeaways so they don't have to do the dishes, you know? And we've got people who, you know, they can't make it every Sunday. And I understand that. And later on I'm going to be talking about, you know, prioritizing your time so that you can make Sunday a priority. But I understand. When we were young, we went to church 5 times a week and we just burned out. We just burned out. So we thought, no, God created family before he created the church. Family's important. And sometimes you just need to go home and spend time with your family. And, you know, if you're working till 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night, it's a hard yakka. We got people who do that. We got people who are working till 1 o'clock in the morning and they're still here 8 o'clock setting up for audio. And I love those people. And I don't question their commitment at all. And if they miss a Saturday or a weekend because they need to spend time with their family, I understand that. But we are just too busy. We're just too busy. I remember James Dobson, he's another oldie, and I'm dating myself and I quote Bob Mumford and James Dobson. Most of you probably never heard of him. Who's heard of James Dobson? Oh, okay, there's a few oldies in here. I remember him saying, before you accept any other responsibility in life, if someone asks you to be part of something, join the board or the sports team or pick up some activity or responsibility or whatever, before you accept any other responsibility, ask yourself, what am I going to drop? Because we're already to the max. And if you take on one more responsibility, that's one more responsibility over and above your already fully committed time allocation. So before you accept another responsibility, ask yourself, what are you going to let go to make room for that new responsibility? It was an interesting thought, wasn't it? Because everybody's already to the max. We've just got too much going on in our lives. Someone called not so long ago and wanted to have a cup of coffee with me. They used to be in our church, lovely people, and we're sorry to see them go, but, you know, we're not like the mafia. We don't say, you're happy to see you come, happy to see you go, but we'll shoot you in the back as you leave. No. We love people. We just love people. And we know the people who are here because they want to be, because they're free to go somewhere else. But they wanted to sit down and have a cup of coffee, and I just didn't have the time. And I had to explain to them, look, I would love to sit down and just have a good old chit-chat and talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. But I'm not going to do that until I've had a cup of coffee with every person who's still in the church. I don't have time to sit down with every single one of you. I would love to, but I just don't have that time. I've got 3 jobs. I'm almost full-time at school. I'm pastoring and I'm a recording artist. And I haven't done an album in 6 years. I just don't have the time. And, well, I do. I've got the same 24 hours as everybody else, but we have to allocate it, you know. So I've got to watch where my time goes. So it was hard. And sometimes people think, you know, that wasn't very nice. No, it wasn't very nice. I was pleasant about it, but I said, look, I'm sorry, I just can't. John and Lynn, by the way, are your cup of tea people.
We love
tea. They They are especially anointed to listen to your problems. You can talk to them all day long, and they will understand. Make that three sugars, Lynn. I love this couple because they have been able to do things that I would love to do but have not been able to give myself to. These are a precious couple. And if you have not spent time with them, I encourage you to spend time with them. They carry our heart. And they're here most mornings before me. We've got this competition thing going. But 8 o'clock is where I draw the line. John, I'm sorry. All right? You can win that one. But they carry the heart of the church. And they carry your heart. They love you. And we've released them to do pastoral care. But, you know, every time you say yes to someone, you're saying no to somebody else. Every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Every day we must make a choice between the good and the best. And Mary, Jesus said, chose the best part. Martha, what Martha chose was commendable. Someone has to do the dishes in the kitchen and prepare all the food. But Jesus said, Mary chose the best part. And sometimes we've just got to make a choice to let some stuff go and not let go the one thing that Jesus said was necessary. One thing is necessary. One thing is needful, he said. Now, it doesn't mean the other things aren't needful, but one thing is more needful than the other things. And what Satan will try and do is rob us of the one thing that really is needful, and that's our time with God. Because if you don't spend time with him, you won't hear from him. And if you won't hear from him, why have him as your God? I must remember to smile occasionally. All right. But most of us are just too busy to spend real quality time with God. It will cost you time. It takes time to get quiet. We haven't done this for a long time, honey, but every once in a while in previous years, we would just pack up our bags, go to Elgie's Bay for 3 days and do nothing. Nothing. We just sat and looked at the waves on the beach. And eventually God talked to us. And, you know, it takes 3 days just to stop. Yes. Sometimes it takes weeks just to stop. You know what the devil would love to do in your Christmas holidays? He'd love to fill it up with all kinds of stuff. That's time to stop, people. It's time to stop. Let me read this to you in 1 Kings. Don't have to turn there, but if you want the reference, it's 1 Kings 20, verse 38. The prophet went and waited on the road for the king, disguising himself with a bandage over his eyes. And as the king passed by, he cried out to the king, "Your servant had marched out into the middle of the battle, when suddenly a man came over with a captive and told me, 'Guard this man.'" Okay, so the prophet is talking to the king, and he says, "Your servant, it's me, marched out into the middle of the battle when suddenly a man came over with a captive and told me, 'Guard this man.'" Okay? "If he goes missing for any reason, your life will be exchanged for his life. If you lose this man for any reason, your life will be exchanged for his life." This is serious. "You better not let this guy go, or you'll weigh out a talent of silver. But," verse 40, "while your servant was busy here and there, the man disappeared." And the king of Israel said to him, "So shall your judgment be. You have pronounced it on yourself. While your servant was busy here and there and there and there and there and there, the man went missing." and he was the man you were supposed to be guarding. I will set myself on the rampart. I will stand my watch. This man is your walk with God. I will stand at my guard post. We must protect our time with the Lord. And we must protect Sundays as much as we can. Come Sunday morning, I don't have to think about whether I'm going to church or not. Thank you. My alarm goes. Get out of bed. I don't have to think, oh, today's Sunday. What shall I do today? That choice is already made. And some of you would find it a lot easier to be in church on Sunday mornings if you decided long before Sunday and make it a quality decision. I made a decision when I got saved that I would not miss a Sunday, and I have not missed a Sunday in 50 years. 50 years I have not missed a Sunday unless I was sick, and this year I had two Sundays off, and that's really rare for me, or we're going away like we are. Other than that, you can count on me. I'll be here because I made a decision. Jesus said he was going to build something, and I want a piece of the action. And Satan said, I'm going to oppose it. So you can be sure he will oppose prayer, your personal prayer, and your corporate prayer. You're going to church. He has an assignment against you. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus is trying to do with you and through you. When half a rugby team shows up, doesn't matter who they're playing. Chances are they're going to lose. Ever tried throwing a ball to somebody and they're not there? I don't want anyone to feel condemned through this, because we got over all that stuff years ago. But still there's the reality that there are spiritual disciplines. So for me, certain spiritual disciplines are non-negotiable. Because I've found in the busyness of life, there will always be a bidder for my prayer time, for Sunday morning, and my walk with God. And the only question is, what am I bid? How about a game of rugby? There wasn't a game of rugby last night, so we can't blame Ebenezer this morning on a game of rugby. But, you know, if you're going to watch a game of rugby, what are your non-negotiables? Okay, I'm going to watch that game of rugby. But come Sunday morning, you know where to find me. Because I've got a non-negotiable choice here to be in the house. And I've already talked about people who, you know, have to work late, or you've got a Sunday morning job or something. And of course, we understand that there's reasons. But unless there's something, you know, another commitment that you have to fulfill, I'm just saying, I want us to just ask God as we finish this meeting, am I standing my watch? Did I march out into the middle of a battle? And believe me, it is a battle, people. And have I been asked to guard that which Jesus has entrusted to me? Take heed to yourself, for in so doing you will save yourself and all those who are with you. This is your marriage at stake. This is your children at stake. This is your future destiny. It's not us. It's not much to ask you to give up 70 years for an eternity. The time thief, has you on his calendar. I will stand at my guard post. I will protect my time. I will guard this man. I will choose the good part. I want us just to spend some time asking God, what do we need to do to guard this man? Where are we being busy here and there? If we're too busy to spend time with the one we say we love, then we are too busy. No one's questioning your love for Jesus, but have we given in to the pressures of this life? The King of Tyre, the word means pressure. And if there's one spiritual force we are facing today more than any other, it is pressure. It is time pressure. It is financial pressure. The Bible says, don't let the enemy squeeze you into its mold. Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. I don't want anyone to go into self-introspection and condemnation. We've come out of all that. I want you to see God smiling at you right now, because he is. He knows the effort that you're making. And hey, you're here this morning. You're doing real good. You made it. On a Sunday when it would have been so easy just to sleep in and catch that extra hour, you paid the price, you got out of bed. I commend you. But I just hear the heart of God saying, there's so much I want to share with you, so much I want to say. But you're so busy. You've allowed the world to squeeze you into its mold. I'm not saying you're a bad person. You've just succumbed to some pressure of your environment. I understand that. But I'm here to help you. I'm here to tell you there's a way through this. There's a way through. So, Father, what do we need to do? And if there's something that needs pruning from my life, what is it? Let's pray. Father, you're a loving Heavenly Father, and this isn't a word of condemnation. It's a challenging word, but it's because you love us and you care about us and you want to help us and you want to spend time with us, but we haven't got time to spend time with you. Talk to us now, Father. Loving Heavenly Father. Let's just pray for a moment or two. Maybe God wants you just to make that quality decision that I talked about, that non-negotiable. This has been something that's been going on for a while. You've been struggling with this, and you just need some help. You just need some strength. I tell you, there's nothing stronger than a quality decision. Instead of having to fight that battle every Sunday morning, you just fight it once.
I just saw this picture of the Lord, and he was sitting like in a restaurant. It was a table and it was set for two. And I saw him sitting there, and there was this beautiful red rose on the table. And I saw him waiting, and he had a gift on the table. And he was waiting. And he was waiting. And he was waiting. And then I saw this woman come in to the restaurant, and she had about 5 or 6 bags with her. And she came in, and she was so flustered and busy. And she kind of crashed in and dumped all these bags and flopped down in the seat. And it's like, yeah, you know, what do you want to talk to me about? And I just saw the expression on the Lord's face and the gift that he had on the table that he wanted to give, he just pushed to the side. It was like, this isn't a moment where I can share with you my heart or the gift that I have for you. And I saw that disappointment. And I believe it's a picture of many times we're like that. We come in and we're carrying so much with us, and we're flustered and we're busy, and we come to be with the Lord, and it's like, okay, yeah, what do you want to talk to me about? Or, you know, we need to take care of this. And the Lord's heart's grieved because he's sitting there waiting as a lover would sit and wait. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and I knock. And if you open, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. That's an expression of intimacy, an expression of spending time together. And I believe that the Lord's wanting to say that to many of us here this morning. I want to sup with you. I want to spend time with you as lovers spend time. I want to share my heart, and I have gifts that I want to give you so that you can unwrap them and enjoy them. And I have things that are on my heart that I want to share with you. But you're cluttered by the busyness of the day.
Thank you, darling. It was beautiful. I appreciate that love call, you know. This is not about performance, people. We've all come out of that. This is not about reading your 3 chapters a day and, you know, having your set time. And although there's strength in that. I remember my wife and I, when things got so busy with the church and with school and stuff, this is years and years and years ago, we said, okay, Thursday, we're going to make our day. We're going to have a cup of tea, going to have a coffee Thursday after school. 4 o'clock, we're going to have a coffee. It was our date time. And so it went in the diary. It's like, you mean you're going to make an appointment with your wife? It just seems so mechanical. This is a love relationship. Yeah, but because she means so much to me, I'm going to schedule that into my diary so I know it doesn't get squeezed out. And, you know, I don't think we've done that for a while now. But that's been the lifeblood of our relationship, because a whole week will go by and we haven't spoken to each other about stuff. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down. Don't let one day go down on your wrath. You're lying in bed and you can't get to sleep. And that's because the Bible says, talk about it. But I don't want to talk about it. Yes. And a whole week goes past. You've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But that enabled us to process. At least once a week we processed stuff. And don't tell me, if you're a married couple, you don't have to deal with stuff. Because if you're married, you do have stuff. Don't you? Yes, okay. So it's not about, you know, religiously, you know, works. You know my heart. I'm not about works. I'm not about condemnation. It's just, let's give God that opportunity to love on us, to tell us how much he loves us. But we've got to give him the space to do that. And that must be my finishing moment, is it? One quick word of knowledge to finish off on. The 10 virgins. 5 replenished their oil, 5 did not. And I got a word of knowledge. You know, some of you, your joints are getting creaky because you're not getting the oil you need. Your love walk is starting to get a bit stiff, you know. You get a bit cranky if you don't keep being filled with God's Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Keep on keeping on being filled with the Spirit.